Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The average 25-year-old in Ireland is earning €558 a week, according to recent research which was conducted as part of the Growing Up in Ireland project. And it found that over a third of people who responded said that they have difficulty making ends meet. Owen McGee is here, personal finance expert. Hello, Owen.
Hi, Claire. Thanks for having me in.
We're talking about this new squeezed generation now, Gen Z, and how they start their financial life. Because I know you always say that's really important. How you start is an indicator of where you're going to be by the time you retire.
Yeah, and let's not have any Gen Z. Is that what we call them? Gen Z, people in their 20s.
Yeah, 28 really and under.
Yeah, 28 and under. So let's not have anybody under the age of 28 listening to this saying, oh, McGee says I'm doomed and I'm done. You're not. It's just great if you can get ahead in those years because it does lay foundations. And I think that your 20s in particular are a really important time in your life where you discover who you are, you make your big mistakes and you make your, you try to decide what direction you want to go. And that's really important. And it's not about trying to suck the life out of that by trying to concentrate on your finances all the time. You still have to do all that stuff and it's still really important. But don't create a financial hangover for your 30s either. Because one of the things I found a lot, particularly, you'd see it sometimes with clients, but particularly when we were doing the TV show, do you remember the TV show, How to Be Good with Money?
Yeah.
When we were doing that, you'd have people applying kind of mid-20s. And at that time, it was really unusual to see people, and granted, the two people who were applying maybe were looking for that type of help, right? But it was really unusual to see people in any type of plus figure at all. They were always in minus 10, minus 20,
so
where
in,
they had car loans
debt
and personal
going into
loans.
Their
yes.
30s.
Yeah, and they're sitting there going into their 30s in a position where they're saying, okay, not only do I have to try and start saving, I have to get back to zero before I can start saving. And they're on a financial treadmill.
Mm,
and
but once you know, take, if you think back yourself to that time in life, it's really hard, right? Because you're on low money, small money, you're starting out. You're probably maybe trying to live away from your parents for the first time, move out on your own. You might be trying to buy a house. It is really easy to get into that position where you owe money, right?
Yeah. And actually, even when you mentioned buying a house, and this is why I want to talk about this today, because if you think about, we always talk about the squeezed middle, right? And we all, and the squeezed middle are suffering, and there's people who are suffering even harder again than that. But this is a generation that I think has lost out. It could be lost out completely, right? Even the gender pay gap in this, the females are earning €60 per week less than males, right? Is what those stats showed us, right?
And usually, the Gen Zers, the under 20s.
Yeah, there's a pay gap already. And usually the pay gap is explained away by the fact that, oh, you know, sometimes mothers take time out of work and therefore they jump back on the career ladder a bit later. The average age of a person having a baby in Ireland is 31 and a half years of age now. So that's not affecting these Gen Z, but yet there's already a pay gap. You also, if you look at the squeeze that's on them, in the year 2000, the average age to buy a house was 29. I saw research recently that shows us it's 39 years of age
now.
Yeah,
that's not surprising, given the way it's gone.
So every way which way they're being squeezed. But also, they've lost out on, if you think about it, when I came out of college and went into work for the first time, you had a water cooler to chat to people. You were around people all the time. They've lost out on college, the full-on college experience. A lot of them have lost out on the full-on college experience. But they're also losing out on that thing of being in an office environment or a work environment, whether it's on tools or it's in an office or whatever else you're doing. They're missing out on that idea and the concept. And one of the things that really influenced me was the people I saw every day and the kind of, there's my next goalpost and that's the person I want to be like and that's the person I want to spend more time with to learn from. And it's all remote and maybe they're adapting to it better. Maybe I'm just old and I'm not adapting. I don't see the same benefit.
Some Gen Zers jump from job to job and go on fantastic travelling little gap months in between and are living the dream and might be quite happy doing that.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what they should be doing, Claire.
But when they come back and they're 30 and they have debt, you want to talk to them.
Yeah. And I'd even like to talk to them now because I do believe, like if you think about it, there's a thing, I'm sure I've mentioned this before. I can't remember. I'm sure I've mentioned it before in air, but there's a thing called Parkinson's Law, right? So Parkinson's Law is the law that says a job expands to fill the time that you give it.
Yep.
So if you have an hour to cut the grass, it takes an hour. If you have 3 hours to cut the grass, it takes 3 hours, right? The same thing happens with your income. I see it all the time and it applies to about 85. You make 30 grand a year, you spend 30. You make 50 grand a year, you spend 50. Now imagine the person who's in college this week and they're making 400 quid a month or whatever it is, right?
Part
they're making 100 quid a week,
100
quid
or
400 quid a month. And all of a sudden they go to, I'm making the figure up, €2,000 a month. Last week, they've just got their first real job and they're getting their first real salary. Last week, they were surviving on 100 a week. Now they've got 500 euros a week. And if they don't capture Parkinson's Law there and then, it kicks in. And trying to reverse Parkinson's Law is really difficult.
Their expenses go up as well.
Their expenses go up and they start living life and they deserve it. But what I'm saying is a little bit of a change can make a huge difference later on. And these figures will surprise you.
So go on, tell me. I want to know how much you want that person starting out in their first job to put aside. Is there a percentage?
There is a percentage. What I would say is if you put 10% of your wealth, 10% of your earnings away, you'll cover the day-to-day stuff, any surprises life throws at you. Mm-hmm. 15%, you're starting to get ahead. 20% plus, and that's the real key one. Get above 20% and you are now creating real long-term wealth. And let me just show you the difference between the pain you're going to feel later if you don't do it today.
Go for it.
A 25-year-old today sits down, two mates, right? Let's call them Salt and Pepper because we mentioned how to be good at money,
you
right?
Love salt and pepper.
Salt and Pepper sit down, they're two mates, and they both decide, I want to have a million in my pension pot when I retire. Okay.
High ambitions.
Yeah. €1 million. Now, put that in perspective. Today, the average person in Ireland retires, depending on what research you look at, somewhere between 100 and 120,000 euros. Nowhere near enough, but that's the average pension pot today, right? But the two 25-year-olds, Salt and Pepper, say, I want €1 million in my pot. And Pepper says, I'm going to start today. Sits down with a financial advisor and gets advice and is told, yeah, you need to put 500 euros a month into that. And Salt says, I'll do it next year. And then next year. And then next year. And Salt wakes up on their 35th birthday and says, I want the same €1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit down with an advisor. They need to put €1,000 a month in, twice as much as Pepper did. Okay. So just delaying that 10 years alone, it's about compounding. It's about just making it. And you ask me, how much do I need to put away? Anything is better than nothing. Avoiding the debt. But we do have a problem with putting away money for the future. I'll try and explain this really simple. When we think about ourselves, and we're going to make the part of our brain up, when we think about ourselves, when they look at an MRI, the right-hand side of your brain lights up. When you think about somebody else, the left-hand side of your brain lights up. So if I think about you, the left-hand side of my brain. If I think about anybody else, the left-hand side of my brain. If I think about future me, the left-hand side of my brain lights up. Okay, so when you're deciding today, oh, I think I'll put money in my pension and not go out tonight, your brain thinks you're putting it away for somebody else.
There's a disassociation there.
Yes, so you need to bring it back to, okay, this is actually for me. I'm enjoying my life now, but I always want to enjoy my life now. I heard your man Owen talk to Claire and they said, just put a little bit away now and the compounding effect gets you much further
ahead. We all wish we could go back and talk to our 23-year-old selves about, you know, pensions and putting it away at that time. But when you are 23, it doesn't click, does it?
It doesn't. You're right, Claire. It doesn't click. But it does for some.
For some people.
It does
people
for
like
some.
You, Owen.
Yeah. Not so
started
sure.
Started his pension when he was 13.
Claire, believe me, I wouldn't have the knowledge I have if I didn't have the mistakes I have. And I think that's important too, right? And what I would say is it is important that you do enjoy your 20s, but little things. Like there are certain, like when you look at some of the research that's out there, like it was in the high 90s, I think it was 97% of people in that research are worried about housing, right? Like you've got people who suffer, every piece of research you look at will come up with financial anxiety as being one of the biggest stressors. It's always number one, two or three on every poll I look at. Financial stress is the biggest stress. Even do the little things. Get yourself a buffer, right? And actually, anybody listen to this, you don't have to be in your 20s. If you're suffering with financial anxiety, get yourself a buffer. Now, what's a buffer? People who don't have a buffer reach for the credit card when life happens. The boiler breaks down or your mates are going away on holidays and you decide you want to go with them at the last minute, right? That's a buffer expense. And the amount you should have in your buffer, and people go, oh, hold on. So you should have 3 months take home pay in your buffer if you've got a steady income, ideally maybe a dual income household. If you're a single income household and you've got a freelancer or a tradesperson or someone who gets big money in and no money for a little while and big money in again, no, you should have 6 months. And people would say, 6 months take home pay
money.
And then COVID happened and everyone, 6 months, I get you, right? So, but what I would say is even if you're sitting and you go, oh, I can't even get to 3 months, I'm nowhere near it. There has been research in the US, now it's obviously US research, so it's $500 is enough in a buffer just to extinguish a huge proportion of that financial anxiety. And what it does for you is it stops you putting it on the credit card, it stops you taking out that loan just because you feel you really need to, because you deserve to enjoy life, and you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it stops you getting on that treadmill
so create
for the first
time. Your buffer really as a gift to yourself to sort of wipe that anxiety, that financial anxiety that, you know, most people are liable to feel at some point, right?
Absolutely. And one of the things I find interesting was buffer is something I've been talking about for years. And I used to only talk to a certain portion of people that I'd be engaging with. And I've started dealing with all ranges of salaries and wealth and everything else. And it's a game changer for people. Like the security, I call it a financial security blanket. Yeah. That's what it is. But you also learn a lot from your buffer. So if you have your buffer and it's sitting there and you have to dip into it, you need to do two things. The first thing you need to do is replace it as soon as possible. You take the money out, you put it back in as soon as possible. But the second thing you need to do is learn from it. So let's say you replace the tyres, 480 quid on the car. Then you go, you know what? It was coming up towards Easter last year when I replaced the tyres. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to put €40 a month aside. I'm going to put it in an envelope in the kitchen or in a pocket or space or wallet on my fintech app. And I'm going to have 480 quid there next year so that I don't have to reach for the buffer again. And these are the simple things that you can do just to make your future life much easier and even more enjoyable than what you're enjoying
but
today.
But just to come back to our under 28s, right? The Gen Zers, they're between 13 and 28. If they're paying really high rent and they're in their first job and they're struggling to put food on the table at the end of the week, how do you save in those circumstances?
One of the things that's shocking is I have a thing called the 35% rule. So you shouldn't spend more than 35% of your take-home pay on your financial commitments. So if you're making, just to keep the math simple, if you're making €1,000 a month, no more than 350 should be going on your mortgage or your rent and your car loans and your financial commitments. Mm-hmm. These are loans and payments. There's lots of people out there because of the situation we're in, particularly with housing, that are paying 55% on rent. OK, and what I would say to that person is it's really unsustainable and you will do it for a while, but you are on a path to creating and you need to look at any other circumstances available. Is there someone in the office who could share the accommodation with you? Is there somewhere else you could go cheaper for a short period of time to try and get yourself ahead? I don't like saying it particularly on air, but is moving back home for a while, is that an option to you?
Well, loads of people are doing it because they have to do it. But you're nearly saying it's more important to have your buffer, your savings, hopefully start your pension than it is to have a great comfort in your living circumstances.
I'm not saying that, and I really, because the balance for me is a real struggle, right? Because what I don't want to say to people is you don't deserve the life you're living, right? Of course you deserve.
It's unfair. It's really incredibly unfair.
And sorry, we're in an awful position. Like, things are so much more expensive now than they were 3 years ago. If you're doing the same thing now with your finances as you were 3 years ago, you're going backwards because of inflation, okay? So we all have to do things different. But you also have to, you have to cut your cloth, because you can enjoy it today and have problems later, or you can adjust today and live a better standard of living all the way through your life. And it's just about addressing that today. I do believe everyone deserves to enjoy life, but I do believe you want to do that at a sustained level. And if you're borrowing from the future to pay for today, you're just storing up problems for the
future.
What's
the priority if you can only do the buffer or the pension?
Buffer is absolutely the most priority.
Or
right?
Should you do a little bit of both?
No, you get your buffer up to a decent level first. €500 is the research in the US. I'd be much keener to have €1,500 in a buffer if you're not getting to 3 months. Get to that and then start addressing things. The next thing you're addressing is your debt. If you've what I call crappy debt, you need to start addressing
that. Crappy debt, credit card debt.
Credit cards, anything that you buy. Generally, it's easy to get. It's high interest rates and you use it to buy stuff that goes down in value, like cars and credit card stuff and all this, and they're very expensive.
And you don't want to see under 28s, under 30s having car loans, do you?
Or absolutely not. No. And you know what else I would say to you, particularly as you're coming through and you're coming up in your career and you're starting to make money and you're watching people maybe around the office or your peers, or your colleagues, and even your mates going off buying cars, right? Cars is one of those things where we look at them and we say, how is that person managing to do that? How do they have that money? And I know what they do for a living. They're in a similar job to me. They're going on holidays and they're doing. Remember, when you see a car, it's not, don't say to yourself, that's a lovely new car. Say, that's a lovely new car loan. Because that's what it is. Figures would suggest it's about 85% of new cars in Ireland are financed in some way, whether that's PCP or hire purchase or other loans. So it's not a new car, it's a new loan they have.
Yeah, I heard you saying that before and it changed my whole perspective on cars.
Great!
Because it comes from somebody, and I know you love cars.
I do.
You love fancy cars.
I nearly got caught, Claire. So a couple of weeks ago, I was changing my car, right? And I'm sure we need to wrap up, but very quickly, a couple of weeks ago, I was changing the car. And it was, I was looking at a car, and I always go for a two-year-old car. And I was looking at a two-year-old car, and then the garage said to me, you know, the 2024 one is only this much more expensive. And I kind of, all right. and the brand new one will only cost you this.
Uh-huh. And I was reeling you in there.
They were really, man, they were doing a great job. And you know what I did? I said, I was actually going to buy it because it was very little difference between the 23 and 25. Mm-hmm. And I was going, oh, jeez. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just take a step back. And I did my own 72-hour rule. I went off. So 72-hour rule is you sit back 72 hours later, if you still want it, it was probably something that was going to add value to your life in the first place, right? So that was on a Friday morning. I was nearly ready to buy it. I wonder if the dealer listened to this there, right? I was nearly ready to buy it. And over the weekend, I got my car cleaned because that can often help. You get the car cleaned, you go, I love this car again, I don't need to change. So I got the car cleaned and I was driving along and I said, the problem isn't the difference between the cost of the 23 and the 25. The problem is there was an issue with the way the pricing went. So I'm now driving a new 2022 car. I ended up paying half the money I would have paid for the 25. 20 minutes after getting into the car, I was like, this is brand new to me.
But now when it comes to the resale, Owen, would you not have been better off with the 25 if you could have afforded
Claire, somebody else has taken the 45% depreciation on my 22 car that I don't have to take. Mm-hmm. So that's my maths. It worked for my car. And I know, I said this before on air and I got a phone call for about 20 minutes from a dealer saying you're totally wrong. That's my personal experience. I paid nearly half as much for the 22 as I would have paid for the 25 and someone else has taken my depreciation.
Get another call now from a car dealer, yeah. I'm sure. The TV show is on as well. Remind us what it's called.
7 o'clock tonight, RTE1, the Complaints Bureau. And one last thing, Claire, anyone wants to support me, I'm doing the Boston Marathon on Monday for the Matter Foundation. You'll get the details on my Instagram.
He'll allow you to spend money on that, by the way.
No 72 hours needed.
Owen, thank you so much. That's Owen McGee.